There we go. Well, good evening, everyone. I have 5:30. Molly, may we call the meeting to order, please? So we're going to call the meeting to order. Please join me and stand for a moment of silence and then the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Taking roll, Mrs. Rohr.
Here.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Present.
Mrs. Fenn.
Present.
Dr. Good.
Present.
Mr. Hershberger.
Here.
Can I have a motion to approve the February 8th, 2021 agenda?
So moved.
And a second?
Here.
And a roll call vote. Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yep.
And I have a motion to approve the minutes from the January 11th, 2020 organizational meeting, the January 11th, 2021 regular meeting, and the January 20th, 2021 special meeting agendas.
Here.
Second.
Any discussion? To vote, Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Can I have a motion to move into executive session for the purposes of certain personnel matters?
So moved.
Second.
The time is 5:33. We will vote to go into executive session. Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
So we will move into executive session. So the public meeting is reconvening at 5:43 p.m. Taking roll, Mr. Hershberger.
I'm here.
Mrs. Rohr.
Here.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Here.
Mrs. Fenn. Linda, you are muted.
Yes, present.
Dr. Good.
Still here.
Moving on to student recognition and staff recognition. Todd? Todd, you are muted.
Hi, everybody. Moving through this. Let's start with the student of the month, and we'll start with Jody Hughes at Hazel Harvey first.
Good evening. We have some students to recognize for grades K1 and 2. This past month, for the month of January, we are celebrating and recognizing Ryder Badovic, Hunter Robinson, Sydney Clausen, Gunnar Sayer, and Maggie Winans. Grade 1 is Leland Irvin, Molly Hershberger, Riley Duzik, Allie D'Amico, and we had some of our online students recognized as well. And we'd like to recognize Jace Yost, Malia Groover, and Alina Zhang. And our second grade students are Luna Fisher, Kenzie Garten, and Evie Klotzel. Congratulations to all of our wonderful students who showed their CHIP pride.
Thanks, Jody, fantastic. Jamie with CIS.
Thank you.
Okay, I don't know if she's muted. Hey, let's do this. Let's skip forward. Matt, can you handle the junior senior high school?
Yes, I can.
We're having great luck today with technology.
Our students of the month for grade 7 are Callie West and Andrew Yeager. For grade 8, Elena Moyer and Kendall Knapp. Grade 9, Rita Pierce and Joaquin Guerrina. Grade 10, Alexis Horton and Matthew Yeager. Grade 11, Charlie Cox and Aaron Summers. And our seniors were Sarah France and Noah Blas. So congratulations to all those students who represent our school unbelievably. Also on a side note, our eighth grade girls basketball team won the WCAL championship by 2 points over Smithville on Saturday. And they finished their middle school career 34-0. And thankfully, Mr. Osborne watched it at home, so he and I did not get kicked out of the game. Mr. Good was close to getting kicked out of the game. Completely joking. He was well-behaved. So was I.
I was there last year. I know better. But what a comeback. At one point, we were down 10 early.
Yes.
So it was a great comeback.
Especially in a game where 20 points is scored. Yes.
So that's awesome. All righty. Jamie had to pick up her son from wrestling, and the coach kept them a little late. Can't believe that that happened. So I'll go next. I've introduced, in terms of staff recognition, a needle mover. You know, the person that just makes the organization better. It's not a one-time thing. It's not a moment of brilliance, but a person that's reliable, a person that delivers before you ask, a person that is a problem solver. Not a person who brings a problem and has a solution that benefits them, but actually works with the group to solve the problem, to better the organization. Takes on responsibility. And it's just overall. So when I started here 3 years ago, I mean, I found myself doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And so our needle mover is, call Vicki DeAngelis, she'll have the answer. So I'd like to celebrate Vicki DeAngelis as our needle mover of the month. And just a huge thank you from my half is just being there. And like I said, delivering before I even ask, you already have the problem solved and resolved. So thank you very much for being our needle mover of the month. And I really apologize you for getting you here in a manner that you may not have been aware of. So thank you, Vicki. So I'm hoping Jamie has logged on.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry, coming from wrestling practice and I just didn't quite get here in time.
Ed, coach. You are up for student of the month.
Wonderful. Our CIS students of the month, these are students who are always working hard and who are showing kindness and are positive role models at CIS. In third grade, we had Leila Nemchev and Jack Trillo. In fourth grade, we have Alyssa Wiles and Jodis Radabaugh. In fifth grade, Vivian Johnson and Lucas Johnson. In sixth grade, Ava Thomas and J.D. Mueller. Those are our students of the month.
Thank you. I wanted to, I'm not sure we have a large group tonight, but Christine Anger, her name's on the agenda a little bit later, and we moved up our meeting for the opportunity because Christine has a board meeting tonight with Loudonville also. And as we look for later tonight, pending board approval, she would be the interim treasurer. So we did start a half hour early on that piece, and we was hoping to be able to introduce her. But we've had some technical problems getting her connected with her new email at Chippewa. She's able to send, but she hasn't been able to receive anything. So we'll have to work through that one tomorrow, Sean, but I just want to give you a heads up on that. But I'll hand the meeting back over to Molly and Linda for public participation.
Moving on to public participation, all meetings of the board and board appointed committees are open to the public. In order for the board to fulfill its obligation to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient fashion, a maximum of 30 minutes of public participation may be permitted at each meeting. If anyone is interested in speaking publicly at tonight's meeting, if you could
raise your hand physically in your video or go ahead and motion in the chat and we will announce your name and then you may have the floor. I see TJ Lindemann. You could go ahead and announce yourself. You may have the floor.
Hi. Yeah. Can everybody hear me? We're good?
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your time. On January 13th, I received an email, as did the rest of the staff, from Ms. Cook, letting us know that the FFCRA COVID days had expired in December, and henceforth, all staff would have to use personal days for any sickness whatsoever, even if it was mandated by the health board to be a quarantine. I asked Ms. Cook to kind of elaborate on that, and she let me know that there was no tax break for the district, as there was, you know, no tax payroll. But I asked why we aren't doing it. And the answer I was given was that the board thought that since we already had 15 days in our contract, that would be sufficient. I was just sort of looking for some follow-up on that, as far as was there any consideration of extending the COVID relief days?
Thank you, TJ. Anything else?
That's it.
All righty. Is anyone else would like to participate publicly? I have multiple screens to go through here. If you could raise your hand and or motion in the chat. I don't see. Oh, there we go. Carolyn, you're muted.
I actually think Samantha Heaton had her hand up prior to mine. If you want to start with her. Oh, she says no. Okay, then I will start. My question for the board is regarding the addition onto CIS. If our district goes into deficit spending, as has been the talk in the last few meetings, what will happen to our building if we default on that loan? Was there any discussion of a new build as CIS was built in 1970, making it over 50 years old now and has had multiple repairs to its roof already? And wondering if that had ever been a consideration to go to the voters to ask for a new build.
Thank you, Carolyn. And Samantha Heaton, you have the floor.
Hi, thank you. Thank you. I'm Sam Heaton. I live out in the township. My husband and I have two little ones at CIS, and we have one that's going to be enrolling in a couple years here. To add to Caroline's, when the proposal was put out on YouTube, we watched the slides. I know you're making a very hard case for Hazel Harvey being essentially a money pit right now, but after the year and a half that the students have been through and adapted to and the staff have completely championed through, when I say staff, I mean kitchen, bus garage, classroom, it just seems like a frail and put together plan for such, in such short notice after, you know, this year that everyone's been dealing with. And I was just wondering if someone could explain to me why so quickly we're jumping into this plan. I would appreciate it. Great. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Samantha. I see Norm Smith.
Thank you, Molly. Norm Smith. I live on Chippewa Trail in the township. I have several items I'd like to lay in front of the board and then a few comments on the facility. So I'll get through this as quickly as I can, hopefully in my 3 minutes. First of all, my thanks to the board for getting the schools back open and our kids back in the classroom where they belong. I sure pray and trust that we've seen the end of school closings and we'll stay in school the rest of this year and on forward after that. Secondly, I note that since the board meetings have gone online, that the audio of those meetings has been posted on the board meeting webpage April through December of last year. The audios for the January meetings of this year were not posted, or haven't been posted yet. I'm hoping this was an oversight and not a change in policy. These postings have been very helpful in keeping up with the issues before the board. If you could, I'd ask you to please advise that those audios will be continued.
Mr. Smith?
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Smith? Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I was muted before. I just wanted to say thank you for the information you sent to us earlier. And I do want you to know that the board Mr. Osborne and Ms. Cook do have your information in writing. So we do have, I did forward that information. So the board has all of your documents.
Okay.
I just want you to know.
I appreciate that. I'll go ahead and read through it so everybody else can hear it as well. Late last year, input was solicited for the strategic plan survey. Very interested in the result of that survey. If nothing else, just to determine how far out of step I am with the rest of the community. Can the board please advise when the results of that survey will be available? And as a suggestion, could any comments that were submitted be reported as part of the results in addition to any numerical results? With regard to the facility project, during the treasurer's report in the November board meeting, the treasurer indicated a pending financial shortfall in the fourth and fifth years of the five-year plan. This five-year forecast included income from the Nexus pipeline flowing into the general fund. It was stated plainly in that report that the renewal of the school income tax is an essential element of the forecast. It was implied that there's a need to increase the local income tax in addition to the renewal in 2022. Next, during the December meeting, there was a presentation by a consultant of a plan to pursue a facility program through a lease buy arrangement using the Nexus pipeline income to pay for the project. Next, in the PowerPoint presentation currently posted on the Chippewa Local School website about the facility program, there is dependence on the Nexus pipeline money as the primary / sole funding for the project. There's uncertainty surrounding the amount of money to be realized from the pipeline, and any all shortfall will be the responsibility of the taxpayers in the district. Next, as indicated in the included timeline, the board plans to move forward with this financing plan yet tonight without community approval of incurred debt or a repayment plan. Next, there's a critical need for renewal in the school income tax in 2022 and likely a request for an increase above the current 1%. Next, it is not clear whether this is all one project, moving Hazel Harvey functions to CIS and building an auxiliary gym, or whether these are two separate projects. As it is presented, it appears that this is all one project to be financed at one time through one mechanism. Next, the cost of upgrading the Hazel Harvey building and of ongoing costs of that building that could be saved are presented as $2,625,000 plus any needed asbestos abatement and $176,000 annual costs respectively. Few of my thoughts on these data that's presented to us. Perhaps I misunderstand, since the raw data from neither the November treasurer's report nor the December consultant presentation are presented, but it seems that both analyses include the Nexus pipeline revenue. If these are two separate revenue sources from the pipeline, a clear explanation would be in order. If these are not two separate revenue streams, then how can the Nexus pipeline revenue be spent more than once? How can it be allocated to both causes? Next, if the revenue from the Nexus pipeline that is allocated to this facility project is not sufficient to cover the loan, then the taxpayers of the district will be responsible to cover the shortfall, and that without ever consenting to additional taxes. Next, moving forward with a plan to finance a major renovation without voter approval is a very bad idea. If such a facility project is to move forward, community involvement / approval in the form of a levy is essential. Without such, a backlash in the form of rejection of income tax renewal should be anticipated. Next, there's a commitment from the Board of Education, albeit a previous board, that the schools will be operated within the constraints of revenue provided by the 1% income tax, and that increases will not be sought for the operating budget. For the sake of board credibility, this commitment should be honored. As noted in the November board meeting, salaries and benefits represent about 74% of budgeted expenditures. A detailed line-by-line analysis of the entire budget, but particularly the remaining 26%, should be made. Anything/everything not required should be targeted. Any unfunded mandate should be challenged. While required teaching positions and levels must be maintained, all other teaching and staff positions should be critically evaluated. A credible plan for maintaining at least a balanced budget through the forecasted timeframe should be developed and presented before any new financial obligation is assumed by the board. With regard to the facility PowerPoint presentation at a more discrete level than the preceding big questions about strategy, the presented costs associated with the continued use of the Hazel Harvey building deserve some additional scrutiny or at least some additional clarification. Some questions that jump to mind include: one, are the recommendations from the energy audit actually requirements? Two, can new boilers be rented or leased instead of purchased? Three, do utility services have to be upgraded in all classrooms? Four, how many full-time building and grounds personnel, are currently employed solely for Hazel Harvey? It's further noted in the PowerPoint presentation that there's been an expression of support by some of the community for additional gymnasium facilities. With either gym option, it has to be asked whether it's the school board's responsibility to provide a community athletic fitness facility, especially with the impending budget pressure. In the attached gym option, it's clear that the board will assume all costs for the gym. These costs might be defrayed to some extent by revenue generating activities, but no projection of these revenues is provided. While in the separate gym option, it's expressed that the community will have to take some responsibility for initial capital and maintenance that is not sufficient. With the forecasted financial shortfall, such a gymnasium facility should only go forward with zero impact on the board budget. Hosting the facility on board-owned property should be the limit of board financial participation in such a project. Lastly, a detailed examination of board expenditures over the last 5 years should be made. What can be learned? What mistakes are made that should not be repeated? In conclusion, with regard to item 7A of tonight's agenda, except for the presentation made to the board by Mr. Burns in the December board meeting, there apparently has been no discussion among the board regarding this lease-buy financing approach. If this has already been discussed amongst the board within the last year, then either the meeting minutes must be an error and should be corrected, or the discussions must have been held during executive session, which I believe would have violated Ohio Sunshine Law. In either case, voting on item 7A without public discussion of this approach and or alternative financing approaches seems to me to be out of order. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Norm. Anyone else? I don't see anyone's hand raised, and I don't see anything else in the chat. Am I missing something?
I have my hand up, Terry Archer.
Terry, okay, I'm sorry, and I saw Rem and Eric too. So, Ms. Archer, go ahead.
Do you need my address? It's Oroville, Ohio. I'm a teacher at Hazel Harvey. I was on at the last board meeting and felt that there was major concern for the roof at Hazel Harvey and the safety of our students. Moving forward, as we transition to a K-6 building, if that's the route we're going, I want to know that those same concerns for safety will be addressed. I want to know if the police and the fire department will be in on the plans for the new building. I know some of the existing rooms, as well as plans for new rooms, only have one exit route. I was wondering what the policy would be for like a fire drill or an ALICE training drill if we only have one exit route and that route is blocked. I also want to know, I could be wrong, I think the playground for CIS, you have to walk through the parking lot to get to it. As a kindergarten teacher, I know that when our students are out at recess, they have to come into the building several times to go to the restroom. They may need a Band-Aid. They have to be seen in the office. And I was wondering if preschool is going to be dropping and picking up kids throughout the day, how that transition is going to take place with kids going in and out of the building. Also, I know that looking at the plans, I try to look at them the best that I could. If the elementary office is located over by the pre-K kindergarten wing, if there is a kid in first or second grade with like a bloody nose, is ill and has to get to the office, how are they going to be escorted from that side of the wall over to the elementary office? because those kids, I mean, they get lost just walking down the hallway to the office at this point. I'm also wondering, I have a student who's in first grade, and I can't imagine him going out into a hallway to check his locker or to switch classes. And I know we do switch at the elementary school, but we also have students that stay in our classrooms during those times. So I'm wondering who would be monitoring the students in the hallway when we still have kids in our classrooms. In closing, I just hope you will take these concerns into consideration when planning the new K-6 building. As we all know, the safety of our students is our number one priority. That's it for me.
Thank you, Terry. Ms. Remen-Eric?
Yes, I'm Valerie Remen-Eric, and I'm at Hazel Harvey. I live in Norton, and I've been teaching for 32 years, kindergarten. I just wanted to start off by saying I'm very thankful that we have been in-person learning. It's been wonderful to be in the classroom instead of online from a kindergarten perspective. I do want to say I was a little disappointed when I found out that Hazel Harvey was moving to CIS from a Zoom meeting at the beginning of the year. We thought we were getting on to see how COVID was going to be starting in our school with the restrictions, and it was just a lot of architects quoting their plan. I was just a little surprised by that. I have no problem moving to CIS. I think it could be very exciting, and I just hope it's done right. I have 2 points I want to make. One is about the growth in the plan. I see that there are 4 classes per grade. Many of our classes are 4 to 5. Like even this year, we would have 5 kindergarten classes if it weren't for the kids online. So we're just, what will happen if when a grade gets too full on the CIS plan, what's going to happen with those extra kids? My second thing is storage. Elementary needs a lot of stuff to teach with and a lot of places to store it. I just know that teaching young children to engage 25 kids for several hours and to learn valuable content, you need a lot of manipulatives. You need things to engage these children. Elementary is not just to learn with paper and pencil. So I hope there's some kind of plan of where to put a lot of our stuff. I love teaching kindergarten, and I want it to be what's best for the kids. I feel that we need to get this community behind us for this move, and I hope that some of these concerns as educators are addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. Karen Funk, floor is yours. You're on mute.
Yes, I'm the online teacher. I don't know how to use Zoom. Just to kind of dovetail what my previous colleagues have said, my concern is for the children and their emotional well-being. Over my 30 plus years of teaching, mostly in Doylestown, always pre-K to 2 is the highest I ever went. The anxiety children have to come to school has increased. I can't even tell you how much. Used to be, it was a rare case. Now it seems the norm. We have children crying at the door. They don't want to come to our small building. I can't imagine what it's going to be like, what kind of emotional cost it's going to be to have them come to a building that they are probably not going to feel as secure in, not know the way around as well. Just the proximity of the office alone from some of the first and second grade classrooms, their proximity to their things, their coats, their book bags, their things. These are small children. They are not, my concern is for their anxiety, their security, their comfort, their positivity, establishing that early on for school. And then the other thing I have a concern about is I was initially on the committee. I was asked to be on the committee for the planning of the building, and I was very honored to be asked, even though I have such a short period of time left with Chippewa. And I just feel like it was a one time and done, and now decisions were made, and I don't know where the committee seems to have been disbanded or I'm not sure what happened with that and how we ended up with a plan without more committee and community input that we had started with the ball rolling back. I believe it was in November that we met, and then not again. So that was shocking to me to see the plan put together and posted on the website. So those are my concerns, mostly the emotional well-being of our students and building a positive feeling about school rather than what I see could be really a lot of anxiety. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Karen. I see Sarah Ann McCall.
I want to kind of reiterate to what Valerie.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Could you state your name and your address just for the recording?
Sorry, Sarah McCall. Sarah McCall, 577 High Street, Doylestown. I'm also a first grade teacher at Hazel Harvey. Again, I am real happy to be back in the classroom, so I'm very pleased to see my students every day. And I do, I would also say the same like Karen, I was on that planning committee and I felt honored to be able to represent our needs and wants for our future building changes. I guess what I'm wondering, I know I spoke with Mrs. Fenn, she was in my group at the time at the high school or when we met. Technology is a big issue due to COVID. Many schools have went one-to-one. I know other schools have written huge grant, gotten huge grant money. I was looking at that plan, the floor plan right now, and I don't see anywhere where there would be technology labs. So that would mean we would need more in the way of Chromebooks, iPads, something, because we still do growth monitoring via technology. And I was wondering if that's part of that, or is that going to be an outside piece? But it's going to have to be seriously considered, because right now we have 4 computer labs with desktops. So, and we only have 30 Chromebooks for a whole grade level. So if 2 teachers really want to have kids working on projects or be online, we have 2 possibilities at this point right now. But the current plan, it would be have to be all one-to-one, because I do not see anywhere about like any computer labs or technology. So that's my biggest concern for that. So, thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. I do see in the chat that Mandy questioned, and I can read her question, but if she's online, I don't know, I don't see her. Not sure who that is, but I'll go ahead and read her question. It says, what is being done about electrical, plumbing, and HVAC upgrades? This building is over 50 years old and was built to house only 4 grades. We are now doubling the capacity with the same infrastructure. Also, what about parking? I don't have a last name on that person. Could someone chime in with that person's last name, please?
Last name's Kindig.
Could you spell that, please?
K-I-N-D-I-G.
And are you a resident?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Making sure I'm not missing anybody. Last call for public participation. Oh, Mandy, would you like to speak again? You're muted.
I actually have one more question.
Absolutely.
My concern would be, I have a daughter in the 6th grade. They already have issues with lunch periods, trying to get all the kids lunch times. And there are, some of these kids are eating before 11. I can't imagine adding 4 more grades. I mean, do they walk into school and go directly to the cafeteria and start eating lunch? That's a big concern for me. Bathrooms are a big concern for me. I know I saw in the plan they were going to change the girls' gym locker room into a bathroom. However, I have concerns of still whether that is enough. Anything else? I guess I think that's it for my questions. And also, why are we spending all this money on a gym on athletics when we still don't have one-to-one technology for these children? Why are we putting sports above one-to-one technology? That is a huge concern. I'm also concerned why the community has absolutely no input in this whatsoever. Why is this not being voted on? I feel like the teachers don't have enough say. I don't feel like the community members are having enough say. I don't feel like the school board is being transparent enough with their plans, forthcoming enough. I think there's great concern within the community on why that's not being addressed, why we don't get more of a say, why the teachers and staff who work so hard with these kids every day, they don't get a say. I feel like they're being kept in the dark, as are all of us. If someone could address that, I would appreciate it as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mandy. In the chat, Kim Hughes mentioned that Kay McDonald has her hand up, and I apologize, I didn't see that. I don't see a Kay McDonald. Maybe it's on another page.
Okay, Molly, may I ask you, what time did we come back from executive session? Because our public participation goes for 30 minutes.
Well, we came back at 5:43, but then we had the student recognition and staff recognition, which went approximately 10 minutes. So we have
how much more time?
We have 7 more minutes.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. So Kay McDonald, are you there?
I am, how are you?
Oh, there you are, thank you.
Yeah.
Floor is yours.
My name's Kelly McDonald. I live out in the township now on Mount Eaton. I have a child in CIS and I have one at the high school. My concern is, have you guys listened to the staff of what their concerns are for our children? And I totally agree with the gentleman that spoke earlier about all the things that should be done, and the lady that just spoke about that should be, you know, more public and more teacher involved, instead of just saying, hey, we're going to spend all these millions of dollars and talk about money we don't have yet from the pipeline, and then you're wanting to add on another gym to the high school when we have a performing arts department that our marching band doesn't have a truck to, I don't know, Linda, a truck to transport their instruments. Half of the instruments in that department are falling apart, and those haven't been replaced or upkept. From what I've been told, that is the school's responsibility, not us as boosters, to raise the money to pay for those. So why are we all concerned about, again, sports than other departments in our schools, such as technology, performing arts, and those kind of things? Thanks.
Thank you, Kelly. And I saw Samantha Heaton, you had your hand up again, or were you just...
Is there a time? I don't want to cut into the whatever you guys...
Oh, we have 5 minutes.
To add to Mandy and to Kelly as a parent, I am new here to this community. We moved here about 5 years ago. We didn't move here because it was a Division III, you know, athletic club with a turf field. We moved here because of the district numbers. Because of that blue award that Hazel Harbor received, we picked the school district because of the stellar staff, and the idea that they're not being heard right now is just really upsetting. We really thought we were coming in on the upswing of a community that was ready to invest in their buildings and their educators. And it's just kind of disappointing after going through that slideshow.
Thank you, Samantha. Anyone else? Carolyn Garbinski.
Thank you. One other question I wanted to ask was the fact that the rooms do not have sinks. And I know that sounds like, why do they need sinks? If you've ever worked with a pre-K through two student, you know that glue sticks are used almost every day, and children need to wash their hands every single time they use a glue stick. They're not able to hold them without getting glue all over their fingers. I know that might sound like just a small trivial thing, But in order for our children to do what they're doing in class, using glue sticks, paint, any of those types of products, we need a water source close by, preferably within the classroom. I know it's expensive to plumb, but it's just another issue that we face as pre-K through two teachers. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Any others on these last 2 minutes? I'm not seeing anybody. Last call. Judy Cottrell is motioned in the chat. There you are. I see you. You're very dark. I'm sorry. It's very hard to see, but Judy, you may have the floor. You have 2 minutes.
I've lived in this community now about 50 years, and I voted for every school levy that's come along, but we were always informed of what was going on before we voted. I think this is really not a good thing for the community. I don't see the support there if you just do this and then figure out how you're going to pay for it later. I think there's going to be a lot of backlash about that. And we've got a great school. We've done, I'm just so proud of all the staff and all the students. And like this lady said, she moved here because of the school. So let's listen to everybody and not be so quickly at these things. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy. And with that, we will close public participation. And we will move on to the superintendent's report. Todd?
Thank you, Molly. In regards to the superintendent report, what I have tonight is the Business Advisory Council. We work with TCCSA the Tri-County ESC in regards to updates as to what's going on out in the community in terms of kids that are leaving school in terms of career readiness. And they are working on several internships at this point in time, where juniors and seniors would work during part of the day and or get credit for working in different areas. And one of the big pushes has been retail. And I was supposed to get a report out from the Business Advisory Council, and I haven't received it yet, so I will get that to the board. But get out where kids learning in the retail world. The big push right now is restaurant, hotel management, customer service. And we talk about those skills needed to listen and be able to react and think on kids thinking on their feet and problem solving. So I'll continue to update that as I get more information, but that is a big push. And I know it's something that they're trying to do within the Wayne County for our students. The second report that I have, it's not listed on there, but I wanted to update. The impact group has started moving into smaller groups now. I know there's community groups and there's teachers group, and they are driving the strategic plan for the district to get that feedback. I would say just a little bit over half the staff has responded back into that, and groups have been formed into that strategic survey, and it's still up on the website for community members to participate in that strategic survey, and that is run by a third party. I don't see it. I don't see the results. I don't see the individuals that put that in there. So they will gather all that and then put that information back to us. And as we get that, we'll be able to drive our strategic plan, and we'll be able to release that data when it's possible. But that is out there. The last update I got from the group was there was over 400 responses from the community from that initial survey. And when they meet with these community groups and teacher groups, hopefully they can drive that strategic plan a little bit better, and I'll be able to release that information. But that's all I have for my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Todd. Moving into the treasurer's consent agenda.
Did it accept the voice call?
So oh, I apologize. I have all my notes right on top of that. So if we could have a voice call acceptance of the superintendent's report. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed? Report accepted. Thank you. Moving now into the Treasurer's Consent Agenda, item 5. All under A, Finance, to approve, to accept the December 2020 financials, the general fund detail and the consolidated cash report for December 2020. The audit update, as I had indicated and want to make public, because of a wonderful reason, we have an unfortunate result of moving into what's called single audit status. Single audit status, the threshold is $750,000 to be received as in your total of state and federal grant funding. In all previous years up until fiscal 20, that ended June 30th, 2020, we were under that threshold. However, because of the pandemic-induced additional food service program that allowed us to provide the food meals, breakfast and lunch, to all students and had such a wonderful acceptance rate of that program, the money we're reimbursed for that food goes to that threshold. So again, it's an unfortunate result, but it was for a wonderful reason. So we are now over that threshold. We're at about $790,000 approximate of state and federal funding in total for fiscal 20. So that pushes us into single audit status. And the summary of what that means is basically that gives the auditor of state more permission to dig a little deeper. So the audit itself just takes a little longer. They search and check more things. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It just makes the audit take longer and unfortunately cost more. Instead of being done right around now, it's probably going to be another month before the audit will be finished for fiscal 20. Next item is to approve the transfer of $66.71 from the 018-909B High School Principal Support Fund to the 200-990R Robotics Club Fund. Item D is to approve the purchase of Naviance Incorporated for the College Exploration Program to be utilized by the junior senior high school in the total amount of $17,644.20, PO21000711, to be paid with Title IV and K-12 Prevention Grant Funds. Can I have a motion to accept the Treasurer's Consent Agenda?
Here.
And a second?
Second.
Any discussion? To vote, Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. Hirschberger.
Yep.
Moving to item 6, Superintendent's Consent Agenda. Item A is to approve the 2022-2023 Chippewa Local Schools calendar. Item B, to approve the following supplemental contracts for the 2020-2021 school year. For Mike Boley, Ruth Coney, and Savannah McElwin. Item C is to approve the Music in Our Schools Month. Whereas the study of music contributes to the young people's development through heightened skills in listening, reading, self-expression, and creativity. And whereas music education in the schools includes a broad range of types of music and active musical experiences. And whereas music and other arts significantly enhance the morale and quality of the school environment. And whereas it is the stated objective of the public school to prepare children for a productive role in our society. Whereas MENC, the National Association for Music Education and the Ohio Music Education Association, has designated March 2020 as Music in Our Schools Month, focusing on the theme, Music, the Sound of My Heart. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education of Chippewa Local Schools School District endorses the observance of Music in Our Schools Month as an opportunity to support the purposes and practices of music education and encourages teachers, parents, students, and all citizens to participate. The Board of Education of the Chippewa Local Schools School District, for its own part, rededicates itself to the maintenance of a school education program that will be relevant to the needs of the children placed in its care and will reach and positively influence each child. D is to approve Youth Art Month. Whereas Youth Art Month is designed to bring about a renewed recognition of the vital place of art education. And whereas art education develops students' creative problem solving and critical thinking abilities, teaches sensitivity to beauty, order, and other expressive qualities, and gives students a deeper understanding of multicultural values and beliefs. Whereas art education reinforces and brings to life what students learn in other subjects and interrelates student learning in an art population, art history, art criticism, and aesthetics. Whereas it is fitting for the Chippewa Local Schools Board of Education to recognize art education in our schools as an essential part of the learning process and to encourage and support the significant art that is powerful channel for the innermost feelings and responses of every child. And whereas the Ohio Art Education Association has designated March 2020 as Youth Art Month, focusing on the theme, Art Connects Us. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Board of Education of the Chippewa Local Schools School District endorses the observance of Youth Art Month as an opportunity to support the purposes and practices of art education and encourages teachers, parents, students, and all citizens to participate. The Board of Education of the Chippewa Local Schools School District, for its own part, rededicates itself to the maintenance of a visual art education program that will be relevant to the needs of the children placed in its care and will reach and positively influence each child. Item E, to approve the OSBA service agreement contract for the Ohio Policy Service Update and PDQ in the amount of $1,500 for 1 year, effective February 1st, 2021 to January 31st, 2022. Do I have a motion to accept the superintendent's consent agenda?
Here.
Second.
Any discussion? To vote, Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yeah.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yay.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Moving on to new business. Item A is to approve and authorize a ground lease and lease purchase agreement and related documents providing for the construction, enlarging, and other improvement, furnishing, and equipping, and the lease and eventual acquisition of facilities and improvements to facilities for school district purposes, including improvements to the school district's junior senior high school and intermediate school and their sites, and other improvements to school district facilities, and authorizing and approving other related matters, a copy of which is attached hereto and incorporated herein. Can I have a motion?
Here.
And a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Molly, this is Bernadette.
Yes.
The critical vote that's before us, I think is an initial step in the right direction. And I am very thankful for all the comments and level of interest from our staff, from our community. As with any big undertaking, there's various steps in the process. And I think what I see is this lays the groundwork for opportunity for each of you to remain engaged in the process, for us to expand opportunities for that engagement. I think if we do all remain engaged, we will ensure the end result will be what we all anticipate and will bring us the future vision of a stronger community and a more robust school system for our children. So I just want to thank everyone and wanted to add to that, add my comment.
Any other discussion? To vote, Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yeah, prior to my vote, I just wanted to say that for the second meeting in a row, I'm gonna again state my objection to this plan. I still feel this approach is very ill-timed. It disregards the basic tenets of financing, and I don't believe it's very democratic at all. And so for this and many other reasons, I'm going to vote no, and I'm going to continue to vote no on this proposed plan.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yeah.
You're a yes? Thank you. Yes. And Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Item B is to approve to hire Christine Anger as interim treasurer on an as-needed basis. Contract is attached hereto and incorporated herein.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? To vote, Mrs. Fenn.
Yes.
Dr. Good.
Yes.
Mr. Hershberger.
Yeah.
Mrs. Rohr.
Yes.
Mr. DeAngelis.
Yes.
Moving on to item eight, items of discussion. I don't know of any. Board, do you have any new items of discussion?
Molly, I do. Will you please go over the COVID law that we are dealing with at this point regarding, you know, the time, the use of, you know, employees using time?
The FFCRA, that's Families First, and the Families First Coronavirus Relief Act, COVID leave option that was mandated from March through December 31st of 2020 has expired. That original leave allowed employees to have up to 10 days for paid sick time under a federal grant, essentially, that was dependent on the reason of leave, anywhere from 2/3 of a day's pay to 100% of a full day's pay. There were a variety of reasons why they could take that leave. And that leave, again, was capped at 10 days per person based on that person's workday. So it wasn't 10 days of 8-hour days, it was 10 days of that person's leave. So if they worked a 2-hour day, that was a day to them. And again, that leave has ended, the mandate to provide that leave has ended as of December 31st, 2020. That leave could be paid by a federal grant through the CARES Act. It was the Coronavirus Relief Act funds that we had to file for. We actually had to make that report as of the end of December. It was due at the end of that month. So we actually had to pay beyond that because we had people using that leave for days at the end of December that weren't paid until January. And because we're on a cash basis, we actually as a board had to pay that without choice. Nothing we couldn't deny that because it was right. Mandated. Moving forward, that is no longer mandated. The tax credits, as I believe TJ had mentioned, have been extended, but that's only for private employers. As a public employee, we don't pay those taxes. And all employers had the option to extend the leave if they so chose, which would have been 100% board paid. So there were no additional grant funds available. That would have been something that the district would have opted to pay regardless of reason. And there would have been less mandates on how to essentially record and mandate who could take it. And again, it would be completely funded by the board.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Any other items of excuse me, items of discussion? All righty, moving on to item 9. And I have a motion to move into executive session for the purpose of purchase or sale of property.
So moved.
And a second?
Second. Here.
I heard Jay first. Thank you, Bernadette. It is 6:40. We will be going into executive session. Mrs. Fenn?
Yes.
Mr. Hirschberger?
Yep.
Mr. DeAngelis?
Yes.
Dr. Good?
Yay.
Mrs. Rohr?
Yes.
Sean, we need the breakout room, please.
Excuse me, will there be business conducted after the executive committee meeting? No?
No, I'm sorry, I was on mute, I'm sorry. Yeah, there'll be
no discussion, no voting?
No voting at all.
Okay, thank you.